Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Find a Bible, please. It's Luke, the 14th chapter that we're going to begin with this morning. Going to hear the words of Jesus in Luke 14. I need to start reading in verse 16, and I need to crank it. Let's go. I got lots to say this morning, lots that we need to talk about. Let's get started in the Word of God. This is Luke 14 and verse 16. Jesus says, Luke 14, 16, there was a man, and he gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent a servant to say to those who'd been invited, come now, for everything is ready. Luke 14, 18, but they all alike began to make excuses. First said to him, I bought a field. I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to examine them. Please have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife. I cannot come. So if you look at your calendar this morning, you are aware that this morning is January the 3rd. We are effectively beginning a new year. And what is the number one resolution that Americans make as we begin a new year? That's exactly right. We're going to eat less and we're going to exercise more. In fact, tomorrow the gyms will be full of all those people signing up for brand new gym membership because this is going to be the year. This is going to be it. Going to get in shape. Going to lose weight. Going to work out. Those who are hardcore gym rats know that if they'll stay out of the gym this next week, by the following week, all those newbies won't be there anymore. They'll be back on the couch eating chips watching Netflix. Why won't they be at the gym working out? Because they got an excuse. In fact, I did some research and ran across an article in which top trainers were surveyed and asked for the best excuses they'd ever heard for why people couldn't come to the gym and work out. One coach said, I had a woman tell me the color of the clothes she was wearing that day did not match her mood, so she couldn't come and work out. I hate that, don't they? It's just not a match. I love this. One coach said, someone told me, I'm not in shape. I've got to get in shape before I can go to the gym because I don't want to embarrass myself. It's an awesome excuse. One trainer had a client tell her, I am more hungry when I exercise, so I'm not going to exercise so that I'll eat less. Strong work. Several trainers reported people saying things like this, it's Tuesday and I'm supposed to start working out on Monday. I don't want to throw up a schedule, so I'll see you next Monday. Nobody, though, is going to beat this. One high-dollar sports performance coach texting a client, come work out. The client texted back, can't work out. I recently died. There you go. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Excuses. Everybody's got one. And when it comes to the number one resolution that Christians make, what do we got? The number one resolution Christians make is, I'm going to read my Bible. This is going to be the year. I'm going to do that daily Bible reading thing. I'm going to be in the Word of God. I'm going to read, check off all those little boxes. I'm on it. I am going to do it. Are you? Or by the time we get to February, are we going to find that you're writing lame excuses? Couldn't get my Bible reading done. I recently died. What's going to be in the way of you reading your Bible? What kind of excuses are you going to make that are going to cause you to not be able to be regular in your daily Bible reading? Last Sunday night and then special elders question and answer night, the elders set before us our reading plan as a congregation for 2016. We will be reading this year the history, God's story, His story of God's work through the Israelite people. And I need to tell you there are a number of benefits and cool things about this reading plan the elders have set before us. First and foremost, we're reading a chapter a day, 5 days a week. That's a very doable pace. Secondly, we are not reading in a difficult doctrinal section of the Bible. wade into all of that. Just going to be so complex and hard. No, we're reading the story section of the Bible. We're reading the part of the Bible when you get done with your daily Bible reading of one chapter, you are not going to want to stop. You're going to want to go to that next chapter and see what's going to happen next. This is an outstanding place in the Word of God as we're reading along. Furthermore, it's a really simple schedule. We will not be jumping around the Bible all over everywhere. Do a little bit of editing in Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, because we're not going to read all of those books. But once we hit Judges, it's pretty much read a chapter, move your ribbon marker, next day you're reading that next chapter all the way through Ezra and Nehemiah. Won't be all over everywhere. Very easy to stay with this reading plan. On top of that, this offers you a chance, if you're not familiar with all those classic Bible stories, Daniel in the lion's den, David and Goliath, that's what we're reading. And on top of all of that, this is an outstanding plan for families to read together. Maybe reading Hebrews with little ones is kind of a challenge. Reading David and Goliath with little ones is not hard at all. So we've just got a tremendous opportunity to read together. In fact, this morning, go by the information table and pick up our Bible reading schedule for the year. This will dump you into Exodus, as we noted this morning in our Bible reading. We'll get started in Exodus first thing tomorrow morning. It's going to be a great, great year. And I know that in 12 months, a bunch of you are going to be saying, "That was greatness. I learned so much. I increased my walk with God. That was greatness." But I also know next year, when I'm preaching on the Bible reading plan for 2017, some of you are going to be thinking, "Well, you know, I didn't really read my Bible regular like I should." Some of you are going to be saying, "I would have, but you know, here's the thing." And there's going to be an excuse on the end of your tongue. This morning, what I need to deal with is the top three excuses people make for why they're not regularly reading their Bible. And I'm not kidding you. My goal this morning is to crush those excuses so that we can together as a congregation read God's Word regularly in 2016. Let's deal with those excuses. What's the number one excuse? "Oh, Mark, love to do that Bible reading thing. Who's got time for that? I just don't have time. I'm just so busy." It's interesting when you start talking to Americans about the Bible, Americans are uniformly positive about the Bible, just ridiculously pro-Bible. Recent surveys have found that Americans, 88% of them own a Bible, 80% of them think it's a sacred book, 61% of them wish they were reading it more. In fact, 56% of Americans believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God without error. So why isn't everybody reading it? More than 47% of Americans say, "I just don't have enough time to read the Bible." That's a remarkable answer given where we are in the history of civilization. Think about all the labor-saving devices that we own and have so that we do not have to wash dishes by hand, so we do not have to wash clothes like our great-grandma did through a wringer and hang them on a line. I don't paint bedsheet charts. I've got PowerPoint. The work week is even shorter now than ever. How many of us watch Christmas Carol and Bob Cratchit has to beg to have Christmas Day off? The work week in Dickens's London was about 69 hours or more. We got more time. So where'd that time go? Well, that time went to driving kids to soccer and basketball and lacrosse and the school play, and it went to going to the gym to get a workout, and it went to more hours at the office and a million and other things that jam-pack our lives. So the preacher gets up and says, hey, we're going to do this Bible reading thing, and what are we thinking? Hashtag no time, hashtag no thanks, can't do that. Let me say a couple things about that. First and foremost, it doesn't take as long as you think. How long, let me just ask you, how long, if you just started reading the Bible right now and you read straight through, didn't stop for anything, didn't even have to sleep or eat, you're just going to crank it all the way through, how long would it take you to read the whole Bible? People regularly answer, 3 weeks, 4 months, going to take forever. If you buy the Bible on CD, it runs 77 hours. And that is a professional reader reading slowly and carefully. You can read much faster when you read silently to yourself than that guy. But 77 hours to read the whole thing. Hey, across a whole year, 77 hours is not really that long. There's this myth that reading the Bible is this gargantuan, undoable task. And if I'm going to do daily Bible reading, I need a block of about, 4 hours. Maybe I need 6 hours if I'm going to read the Bible. That's just not true. Based on the average person's reading speed, the reading that we will do this year will take the average person about 20 hours of reading this year. 20 hours across a year. Do the math. That's about 24 minutes a week. If you're reading 5 days, 24 minutes, what are you reading? That's 5 minutes a day. Now, granted, sometimes the chapter may be a little bit longer, but sometimes it's going to be a lot shorter. You can read the book of Ruth while you're waiting for the elevator to come. It's just not that long. 5 minutes a day. Now, I need to be honest with you here. To really make Bible reading work, you're going to need another 5 minutes or so to pray and make application of that. So there we go. 10 minutes. Who doesn't have 10 minutes in their day? The truth of the matter is, what we really have trouble with when we start saying stuff about I'm so busy is we're having a priority issue. Because we spend our time according to our priorities, don't we? That's just a big way of saying we use our time on things that we think are important. That's why we go to work every day, because that's important. If we are diagnosed tomorrow with a terminal disease, we're not going to work anymore. It's just not important. If the zombie apocalypse breaks out, I'm calling in, okay? It's just not important anymore. We use our priorities to decide how to spend our time. Can you get Matthew 6 for me? Look at Matthew 6:33. Here's the call for the Christian's priorities. In Matthew 6, this is verse 33, Jesus says there, Matthew 6 and verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's the priority of the disciple. And that priority dictates everything about my life, including how I spend my time. What does it say when we have time to play Candy Crush and Boom Beach for hundreds of hours? We have time to binge watch 17 years of a television series through Netflix. We have time to watch 300 college football bowl games, but we don't have 10 minutes to read our Bible. I've spent 4 hours on a golf course. I've spent all day in a deer stand, which, by the way, is a great place to read the Bible. We've got more time than we think we have. Oftentimes, this is nothing more than what? It's just an excuse. Think about it. If the elders said, we're going to give you $20 for every chapter of the Bible that you get read in 2016, how many chapters are you reading now? See? It's a priority issue. Can you look at Ephesians with me in Ephesians 5? In Ephesians 5 and verse 16... In Ephesians 5 and verse 16, the apostle says there, in Ephesians 5 and 16, we need to be careful. We need to be careful how we walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Verse 16, what's it mean? Ephesians 5:15 says, don't be unwise. What does it mean then, verse 16, to be wise? Ephesians 5:16, make the best use of the time, because the days are evil. One translation says, make the best use of your opportunities. Every day you are given 1,440 minutes. Nobody gets more and nobody gets less. But the disciple uses those minutes in accordance with his priority to serve God, to draw closer to God, to do what the Lord wants me to do, to hear His voice expressed through Scripture so that I can serve Him. What have you got going that is more important, that should have a higher priority than 10 to 15 minutes of daily Bible reading? We're not too busy The truth is, we just choose to spend our time in other pursuits. Which leads me, secondly, here's the big excuse, number two excuse why people can't get their Bible reading done. You know, the Bible, hard to understand. So difficult. And in some ways, the Bible is an intimidating book. It doesn't look like other books. It's bound in impressive black leather. It's got those gold edges. It is big. It is thick. It is full of unusual ideas, visions, and signs, and symbols, and difficult, heavy doctrines. Then somebody says, you know, you need to just do this every day, read some of this every day. What are we thinking? Hey, I don't read nuclear physics every day. I can't pronounce all those names that are in there. I'm not a genius. I mean, come on. They have Bible classes. This is so heavy. You got to go to class. It's for the preachers. It's for the scholars. It's for the people in the seminary. It's not for regular folks. Okay, let's work on that for a minute. So we're going to read the history of the Israelite people. Who was that written for? Who was that written for? That was written for the nation of Israel. It was written for the Israelite person to understand where we came from, how the world was created, what the law of God is that we have to live by, who we are, the people of God, how we got to be the people of God. It was written for the nation of Israel. What was the nation of Israel composed of? Well, the nation of Israel was composed of a bunch of heavy-duty academics, people who had been to seminary and who were highly trained, all of them carrying around a PhD, if not more. No. Average Israelite, herder, rancher, farmer. Some of them shopkeepers, blacksmiths, and soldiers. The average Israelite was a very regular, common person like you. And not only were they expected to be able to read the Scripture and understand the things about Scripture, I need you to understand this. A bunch of those people didn't carry that around in their back pocket. They didn't have a Gideon scroll back there. They actually heard the Bible read to them. And yet, even in just a hearing of the Bible, they were able to understand and live as the people of God. So this whole, it's just so complicated. Really? Might want to tap the brakes on some of that. In fact, when I talk with people about this, I urge them to get over like in Proverbs. Can you find Proverbs 26? If you start looking in Proverbs, that's a good place to read a little bit. If you look in Proverbs, you'll notice not really that hard. Look at Proverbs 26, read with me. Proverbs 26 and verse 12. Proverbs 26 and verse 12. Do you see a man who's wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. I understood that. Did you understand that? I got that. How about Proverbs 26, 17? Whoever meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a passing dog by the ears. Did you get that? I got that. Who goes over to somebody's house? They've got like one of those massive pit bulls. You're like, come here, Rover. I'm going to grab your ears. No, no. See, the Bible is very, very accessible. As I say that, though, I need to be careful. Because the Bible is not all Proverbs, is it? There are places in the Bible where it is a little harder to understand. And I worry sometimes, as I'm talking with people about that, that maybe folks will get into some of the deeper parts of Scripture and then they feel dumb. Mark said it's so easy to understand. I'm not understanding it. Or maybe the result of that is people just surf around in the Bible and find simple stuff and they don't ever look at the more complicated parts of the Bible. I need you to understand something. There are places in the Bible that are going to stretch you and pull you and that are going to be more difficult to understand. And you know what we're going to do about that? We're going to study and work and ask questions and do research and get figured out what God is saying there because it's worth it. It's God's Word. And when God is speaking to us, when God is telling us the story of His people, it is worth learning, studying, examining, meditating. It may be a challenge, it may be a discipline, but it is worth it. Which may mean you have to write a question down for Q&A night. It may mean you have to come on Wednesday. We're doing Bible talk and we're talking about the Bible reading to see what's going on there. It may mean that you have to go to the church's library. We have all kinds of books in there, and do some research for yourself. Or that you're going to get some Bible software and do some reading. But it's worth it, even if it is difficult to understand. Maybe what I need is a food metaphor. Can you look at the 119th Psalm? In Psalm 119 in verse 103, there the psalmist says, Psalm 119:103, there he says, "How sweet are your words to my taste. They are sweeter than honey to my mouth." The truth is that a really good, nutritious meal that is delicious, tastes good, takes a lot of work to prepare. As a result, a lot of us just drive through McDonald's and grab a 99-cent cheeseburger, which tastes good for a second because it is hot and it is greasy, and I love them. But they aren't really that good for us, are they? What we really need to do is understand that sometimes we've developed a taste for spiritual junk food. Read the Bible? So complicated. So I'm going to read a Facebook post about the Bible. Or I'm going to listen to a little bit of a sermon. Or maybe I'll see somebody who blogs about the Bible and I'll read some of those things. Maybe I'll just read Rusty's tweet, 140 characters. I can probably handle that. But you know, really attach my seat to the seat of a chair and get out a notebook and a pen and really focus on God's Word for 15 minutes and do the work necessary to see what, you know, I just don't think I'm going to do that. The problem is, we're not hungry for the right things. We are not hungry for the sweet words, verse 103, of God's Word. But if we'll work at it, we can change our appetite. Bible reading is a daily discipline, but it becomes a joy when we are willing to invest ourselves thoroughly and fully and completely to know God better through His Word. Which leads me finally then to this third big excuse. Oh, I've heard this. You know, been there, done that. I have read the Bible. Know what's going on there. Pretty much know story of the Bible. Got it. I'm good. Don't really need to be reading it a whole lot. Hear that all the time. Familiarity kind of breeds contempt, I guess. And so maybe if somebody's a brand new Christian, they're all excited about the Bible reading schedule. Maybe they didn't grow up in the church, going to Bible class. They don't know about Samson. Oh, this is going to be a great year. But if you're a longtime Christian, story of the golden calf in Exodus 32, that is not exactly going to rock your world, is it? Been there, done that. Someone's going to say, you know, in 2008, I read the Bible from cover to cover. I've done it. Can I say to you that that fundamentally misses the point of daily Bible reading? We're not doing daily Bible reading so that we can say that we have climbed the Mount Everest of spiritual accomplishments. You know, this isn't like running a half marathon and at the end they give you that 13.1 sticker, or running a marathon, they give you the 26.2 sticker. We're not handing a sticker at the end of the year, did the whole Bible. That's not what this is about. We're not really reading the Bible to learn more facts or to understand how many sacrifices Solomon offered or who begat who. That's not what we're reading for. Do you understand why we're reading the Bible? Reading the Bible because we want to know God. That's exactly what we're doing. Jeremiah 9, Jeremiah the 9th chapter challenges us. The prophet Jeremiah says in Jeremiah the 9th chapter, in one of the most important and decisive verses of Scripture, in Jeremiah 9 and verse 23, Jeremiah says there, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. Let him boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who practices steadfast love and justice and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. What we're doing is trying to build a relationship with the Lord. We are trying to come to know God. That's what this is all about. And in fact, our reading schedule this year is designed to help us know God as we watch Him work through His people. There will be great lessons learned about God's faithfulness to His promises, about sin, about holiness. All of this designed to help you build your relationship with God. I don't care if you know every scrap of Bible trivia imaginable. It isn't about amassing trivia. We want to know God. How do you know somebody? How do you come to have a relationship with somebody? Is there anyone who says, you know, me and my wife, we talked once, 1994. Whew. Incredible 15 minutes. I was pouring my heart out. So glad I don't have to do that anymore. That's not how relationships work. What about prayer when we talk to God? Does anybody say, you know, I remember there was that time. Ooh, I was praying. I was talking to God, letting Him know what was on my heart. Oh, it was so good. I'm so glad I did that one time. That isn't how relationships work. Relationships are built as we talk with our spouse, with our friends, as we listen and hear and build and learn, understand one another better. That's what makes relationships grow. Our relationship with God is no different. It grows and gets stronger as we talk to the Lord and as we hear from Him. And that's what we're going for with daily Bible reading. We want to connect with God stronger and better. In fact, I'll just ask you, if you're not reading your Bible, just how are you connecting with God? What is your plan to connect with the Lord? This morning, when you pick up a Bible reading schedule, you'll also see a bunch of bookmarks. These are crucial for us this year. Because on this bookmark, on the back, there's the challenge to cap your Bible reading every day. To cap it off. What's that mean? Cap, C-A-P, stands for looking in that chapter to see what's in here about the cross. The C stands for cross. What is this chapter telling us about sin? What is this chapter telling us about man's proclivity to sin? Man's inability to save himself? Man's need for a Savior? Everything in the Old Testament points to Jesus. I need to go looking and see the cross. A, attributes of God. Who is God? What does He like? What does He not like? What does He hate? What does He bless? Did you see that in Jeremiah 9? That you know that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness? I want to know who God is. That comes as I know His attributes. What's the P? C-A-P. We're going to cap it off. The promises of God. We're going to watch God's Word come to pass. And not just those ginormous promises like the promise to Abraham in Genesis 12. We're going to read where God makes individual promises. I'll help you in battle. I'll bless you. I'll give you a child. We want to mark down and see that when God promises, God performs. When God says, God does. What will that do? That'll build your faith in God. As we're reading His story, we're going to come to know the Lord better. We're going to come to understand Him, and we're going to be drawn closer to Him. Let me borrow from the psalmist again in Psalm 105. Look at the 105th psalm. This psalm is a psalm of history. It talks about the action and work of God. If you think you know the Bible, I'll tell you this, unquestionably this year, you will find and see something. Oh, I forgot about that. I didn't remember that. I'd never seen that before. But even if you know everything about everything, listen to the psalmist. Listen to what he says in Psalm 105 and verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord and call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. What do I need to do? I need to know God's deeds so that I can make His story known among the people. Verse 7, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers His covenants forever. The word He commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant He made with Abraham. His sworn promise to Isaac, which He confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, I will give you the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance. God has worked through the Israelite people. And as we understand His working, we understand Him and our place in His working. We discover again and again the power and the majesty and the grace and the mercy of our God. And if you'll cap your readings, you'll find there's a whole lot more to Bible reading than just learning a bunch of facts. There's coming to know the Lord. So why didn't you go to the gym? Oh, you know, had a blister on my finger. It was raining. I didn't want to get wet before I got sweaty. My workout clothes, they're all in the wash. Excuses. They don't fool anybody. And all they say is that we lack the character to do what matters most. And even worse, we lack the character to take responsibility for our failures. So how come you didn't read your Bible? Oh, my Bible's on my phone. My phone needed to be charged, you know. And so I just couldn't get my Bible read. I'm so busy today. I'm a million chapters behind. And as soon as I get caught up with all the stuff that I haven't read, then I can do today's... Stop it. Reading God's Word draws us closer to Him so that we can know our God and be acceptable in His sight. The elders have set before us a reading plan that is powerful and eminently doable if we'll quit with the excuses. This year, we can read His story.